This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. Hearing today from a 92-year-old veteran of the 2nd Marine Division operating in the Pacific during World War II, Ken Miller of Oakhurst, California. We've heard how he first got a glimpse of the devastation of war performing mop-up duty at Tarawa, that little tiny chunk of land where a four-day battle claimed the lives of more than 1,000 Marines. 9 months later, he was hitting the shores of Saipan, and we've heard him describe surviving that fierce and desperate bonsai charge of the Japanese. We heard how a copy of a long-sought-after painting depicting that action was presented to Mr. Miller during his trip to Washington, D.C. with Central Valley Honor Flight. And earlier, I gave you a brief quote from a 1945 issue of Leatherneck magazine. Here's another one about the courage of Ken Miller back on July 7th, 1944, when he was running out of ammunition, but those enemy soldiers just kept coming and coming in a relentless onslaught. Here's the quote. He held his final rounds until a charging Japanese was literally on the edge of his foxhole. Then the Marine fired. The enemy tumbled down dead, and Miller seized the enemy soldier's rifle and ammunition. With this, he resumed firing and continued to do so, even though wounded, until reinforcements arrived and finished the job of annihilating the last of the organized resistance on Saipan. Again, that was the account in Leatherneck magazine nearly 70 years ago. It mentions the last of the organized resistance. Of the 30,000 Japanese soldiers on Saipan when that three-week battle began, only a little more than 900 were taken prisoner. The balance were either killed by American forces or, as in the case of their leader there, General Saito, performed ritual suicide. There were close to 3,500 American lives lost on Saipan. Ken Miller was one of the more than 10,000 Americans wounded there. But there was little rest for the wounded and the weary. Barely 2 weeks later, the Americans had launched an offensive on nearby Tinian, the island the Enola Gay would famously take off from a little over a year later. I know your battery did some shelling of Tinian, but how much did you actually experience on that island, Mr. Miller?
Just a cleanup. I was in charge of some troops for cleanup.
Were you getting tired of that yet?
I don't think you get a choice.
Did you feel like you were doing something that mattered, something that was important? What was it that motivated you?
Save every life we could in America. Oh, absolutely. So the time I came home, my sea bag went to Japan.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that. So you would have been part of the invasion force to hit Japan. So you come home from the war, you get to see your wife again, and then you got to meet a baby girl. Tell me about that moment. How did that all happen?
Oh, that was the most terrific moment in my life. We had an apartment, and there was 22 steps coming down.
This in Ohio?
Back in Ohio. And she'd come down out of there as I'd come home from work and all that stuff, you know. And we just were the best buddies.
Did she know who you were when you got there?
Yes, because the neighbor next door, Ching was his name, his family lived next door. Where's honey at? And she always calls me honey. No, I wasn't there, but she called me honey. He would razz her a little bit, tease her a little bit.
So to your year-and-a-half-old daughter, you were honey. And why don't I ask her about it? Karen Snyder is here. Karen, he talked about coming home and meeting you for the first time, seeing you coming down those 22 steps, he said, was the greatest moment of his life. You were pretty little, though. What's the earliest memory that you have of your dad?
I can remember waiting on those stairs for honey to come home. And my mother would show me pictures. She called him honey, so that's what I knew him by. Honey's coming home. And so when he came home, I was a little fearful because he was a big man and my mom was very tiny. So it took a while for me to get used to him, but we've been best buddies always.
You were 18 months old, but you still remember that.
I do remember things. The stairs, I totally remember, and I was very young.
And I imagine it was a few years before you realized or started to grasp what he'd been through or how significant the things he did were.
You know, I really didn't, because he never talked about it, I really didn't realize all that he had been through until really he just started talking about it after he came back from the honor flight. His medals were put away. He just didn't talk about it. But the man has integrity that you cannot believe. He does for people always, still. At 92 years old, he's still doing for people. Just a kind, generous, loving, nurturing person. And I'm really thankful for him.
When you look at that painting, or you read about the events of that day, and realize that it's pretty incredible he even survived, what does that do for you? What kind of emotions does that take you through?
It makes me so aware how God protects and takes care of us. Even when things are terrible, he still protects us. He's there for us. And he brings us through things that we don't think we can make it. But he does watch over his own. And my dad has served the Lord all his life. So that's what it makes me really aware of, and has given me strength in my own life.
As you've learned more about his service and what all those other Marines did and the places that he was, has it added to your perspective at all about World War II or about the kind of people we had serving?
Yes. The young men gave their lives so that we can be free. And we need to not lose sight of that freedom, because freedom isn't free. It cost thousands and thousands of lives. And I try to remember that and be thankful for my freedom.
Amen to that. Thanks, Karen. That is Karen Snyder, Ken's daughter. His family's gone a couple generations beyond that now. 11 great-grandchildren, even a great-great-grandson. And turning back to Ken now, have you ever thought about all those descendants, contemplated how many of them would have never been born, or even for the ones that would have been born, like Karen, how different their lives would be if you never made it home from the war?
Not really. It's too frightening to try to... you know, death is permanent, and you know, wow, how did I miss it? Or, you know, you give it your all, and you hope it helps everybody the best you can.
And you never really talked about this?
No. You don't talk about bad things, generally speaking. You want to think about something good. Life's too short.
Well, do you think that what you did in World War II was something good? Do you think that you had an impact in what you and your buddies did?
In no decision situation. You got to clear it up, take care of it, and hope that Eric gets home next time, if there is a next time.
Let's hope there isn't a next time. Well, tell me about your experience with Central Valley Honor Flight. What was that like for you?
A bunch of great guys and great people. I'm telling you, they make you feel so good and so wonderful. Let me tell you, I can't preach enough about this. You listening? I hope. But they were great to us, just great to us. Everything was done with class. I couldn't ask for it to be better. No way, no shape, no form.
When you saw the Marine Corps Memorial and that giant statue of the guys atop Mount Suribachi.
Yeah, oh, you can't take it. You can't take it. You white, those, all those white crosses go into your heart. You just know that there's good guys there, but they had to die. For what? So you could live.
Amen. That's the bottom line. And isn't that a great quote on that memorial from Admiral Nimitz? It says, among the Marines, what does it say? Uncommon valor was a common virtue. Is that true?
I'll take it for what it's worth when he said it that way. You know, but what I saw and what I enjoyed, words can't really express it. The scenery is just absolutely breathtaking.
The World War II memorial itself, what struck you about that monument?
So large, meaning so many. Buried.
What did you think of when you looked at that wall of gold stars?
The number is so fantastic, it just shakes you right through your shoes, right down to the ground, and rattles you a little bit. Is it really that many? Are you sure? Looks like they counted every one. It's impressive.
Why didn't you talk about it for all these years? Was it just too difficult to go back there mentally?
Well, I don't think people want to take the time to stop to listen. Just like us, look, how many years did it take for us to get to Washington, D.C. and see all these monuments, see all the blessings that were told there, make us really, really try to understand what really happened.
Is that part of why you didn't talk, that you didn't think anyone could really understand what it was like for you?
I would say that's 100% correct.
Well, over the years, I've gotten to know our Hometown Heroes listeners enough to know they do care, and they understand more because of your courage in taking us back there and sharing what it was really like. And I know that painting of the Banzai Charge there on Saipan is very, very powerful for you. We heard what the congressman said in presenting it to you, and a bit from Al Perry there as well. Again, for you at home, we do have the video of that moment up on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page if you haven't checked it out yet. But we haven't talked to Mr. Miller about that moment in Washington. So did you have any inkling that you were actually going to get to hold a copy of that painting you had wanted to see and touch for so long?
I had no idea what was going to happen. And this was the fifth congressman that spoke that day on the podium.
And you were still awake after five congressmen speaking?
Yeah, I was eating. There was no way in the world that Kenny Miller, who was born in Maryland, off the mountain, in a house, no hospital, no nothing, they were going to talk about him. But that happened. And this whole building, which is huge, the largest library in the world, let everybody know that this guy was there. They did not know what he did or where he'd been. There's no way you can tell that to anybody. This is the most I've talked about it that I can remember. And I'm not ashamed of it. The Lord knows that we did what we had to do.
And you'd seen this painting on the cover of the book, and you'd always kind of been curious about the painting?
I've had this book for a long, long time.
But for decades, since you had this book, you'd wondered, where is this painting? Can I see this real painting? Because you're in this painting.
I want to know what history they have, so that we might be able to view it and tell other people about it, but I can't.
So you'd seen this painting, and it gets tracked down, and they surprise you with it, and this is you holding a shell there.
Right.
That's a howitzer shell that was going to be fired at the Japanese?
Across the railroad, and you count the number of people that are there.
When you see that painting, and when they presented it to you there, what did that mean to you?
Well, that's some of my buddies, some of my friends, and they won't be home. I've been very fortunate, very, very lucky.
So to have that painting now at your home and to be able to look at it, and you wondered for so long, you know, could you see it up close? What does it mean to you now? Does that make you feel like you're honoring your buddies?
I like to expose it as much as I can. So if anybody sees it, they say, I know that, I seen that, I know where it is. Get to me, let me know, so we can talk.
So having that and being able to tell people about it is your way of honoring the guys who died?
Absolutely.
Was there anything else from the honor flight experience that was meaningful to you?
Oh, just the care that everybody showed for another person there. You could tell it, everything. Alan Perry is just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful man. And yourself. I know that's what he says too. Yeah. You got the job done. Something that nobody could believe that you could be done. I said to myself before I ever went, oh, this is going to be a ring dinger. But no, it wasn't. It was joyful. The Lord was there with you guys, and every time he took a step, you protected them, watched out for each and every one of them. It was great.
Well, I've got to imagine that one of the best parts for you was when you landed. Did you expect a few people to be waiting for you?
Well, no, before that, all those letters we got from the kids, and oh, that was so wonderful. Oh, that was great. Everybody enjoyed that so, so much, you know. And then, of course, getting in there and then having all those people come and welcome us home, welcome us back. It was pretty dang nice.
Did that make you feel like what you did mattered?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. That they know about what we did and really shared with us, because you took us there and you took the crowd there through communications. And I think that was just wonderful. You know, and you can tell by these crowds that you're getting and still getting, and the number of people that are signing up and going, you know.
So 92 years, that's a long time. But is there one thing, as you think back on it, you think about the close calls and how close you came to not being here, is there one thing that you'd say you're most thankful for or most proud of?
To allow me to protect the people, whatever I could do. And I had all the help from the good old Lord. He was trying to help me all the time.
Finish the sentence for me. Once a Marine?
Always a Marine.
What does that mean to you?
That means that you do anything for your buddy. Your buddy can rely on you, look you in the eye and says, we'll do it together. We'll do it. Boy, that makes him a little heart pump and everything else go.
Well, I know there are a whole lot of Marines out there who know exactly what you mean, and the rest of us have gotten a pretty good idea, too. Mr. Miller, thank you for serving our country. Thank you for telling us about it. To get a good look at this Marine, always a Marine, go to hometownheroesradio.com or follow Hometown Heroes Radio on Facebook. We heard a lot about Honor Flight today, and again, no matter where you're listening today, I hope that you'll find a way to get involved in this worthy quest right there in your community. Go to honorflight.org. to find that hub near you. Mr. Miller flew out of Fresno, California with Central Valley Honor Flight, and the next Honor Flight will leave Fresno this coming Tuesday morning, June 24th. The big welcome home will be Thursday evening, June 26th. I'm going to be there. We're going to have the Clovis Community Band fresh off performing in Normandy for the 70th anniversary of D-Day. A group called the Gold Note Chorus will be singing patriotic songs, and hopefully a whole lot of you will be there in your red, white, and blue. If you're anywhere near Fresno on Thursday, June 26th, get out to the Fresno Yosemite International Airport around 5 p.m. in the evening and help us give a group of about 70 World War II veterans the kind of welcome they so richly deserve. If you're not in the Central California area, find out about that Honor Flight hub near you. Find out when the next flight is, sign up the veterans that you know, and maybe find out if there's a way you can help with your time, your talent, or your treasure. Thanks for spending the hour with us today, and thanks again to Ken's daughter Karen for sharing her perspective with us. Until next time, I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.